You're listening to Currently Binging, the podcast about all things TV and movies. Stay connected by rating, subscribing, and commenting on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And now for this week's episode. Hey guys, it is Eva, and on this episode, it is another movie quickie. We are discussing Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, and I literally just left the theater seeing this. I know I am a little bit late, but I am currently in catch-up mode as far as movies go, so I'm finally catching up, and I went to see this. And you guys, bear with me because I've seen all the movies in the Harry Potter franchise now, and I mean, it's been almost 20 years since the first Harry Potter movie came out. It's been over 20 years since the first Harry Potter book was released. So we've had Harry Potter in our lives for a good chunk of time. I mean, he's been a part of my life now for more than half my lifespan, which is so weird. And I, when I talked about Fantastic Beasts, because, you know, podcasting was not a thing when the original Harry Potter movies came out. But when I talked about Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, when the podcast was originally Glam Deets, and I'll most likely link it, so make sure you check out innerglam.com to get the link to that old episode. I talked about, you know, my connection with Harry Potter and how, you know, it wasn't something that was going to fly with my family, and so I had to sneak and read the books. So I've always secretly been a fan of this world, but I'm not a super fan, whereas I know everything there is to know about all things Harry Potter. I am one of those people who still have to go and look things up because, mind you, 20 plus years of Harry Potter, some of the stuff I'm not going to remember at all. So while I was leaving the movie theater, I was like, even while watching the movie, I was like, some of this stuff sounds familiar, but I can't really pinpoint exactly where I heard it from or what it, I'm referencing in my brain. So I did do some research. I do have some notes. That being said, I also had planned to watch Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them before going to see this. But once this latest version, it's not even latest version, once this latest movie came out, it's like Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them disappeared from all streaming. So prior to this, it always showed up on whatever list when I was on like Apple TV or whatever, it always showed up. And now when I went to go try to watch it, it was like, you have to pay to rent it. And I was like, that's not going to happen. So therefore I did not do that. And I was like, okay, well maybe, you know, they'll be kind and there'll be some references to the previous movie to kind of rejog our memories. But you know, that's asking just a little bit too much. So before we get into the nitty gritty of this, because you guys, this is a quickie. Like I said, I try to keep these quickie episodes to less than 25 minutes. So let's dive right into this. And we're going to start off with the thing that I love to talk about, which is the numbers. So Fantastic Beasts has been out for a couple of weeks now. It did on its opening weekend around the 62 million mark. Domestically, to date, domestically, we're around the 135 million mark. In total, including worldwide, we are at the 522 million mark. So with the world, with the international totals added in with domestic, they should make some of the movie back, but apparently this movie is not doing that great in North America or in China. So it's like, so I was like, when I was doing research, that's like the main thing that kept literally every article was saying was that it's not doing well in North America and it's not doing well in China. I mean, clearly it's not doing well here because domestically, and after being out for a couple of weeks now, we're only around the 135 mark. And this is performing, at least when we talk about numbers, is performing slightly lower than Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I didn't write the numbers down, but it is performing slightly lower than that one. But both Fantastic Beasts, the first one, and then The Crimes of Grindelwald are both the lowest performing movies in the entire Harry Potter franchise. So I don't think there's much to be surprised there. Honestly, I'm not surprised the second movie is performing lower. Based off of the first movie, where there were issues with that first movie. And I feel like if you're not a hardcore Harry Potter fan, or if you're an occasional viewer like myself, but you're just like, I'm going to watch this because I want to watch it, and also because I want to discuss it. But if you don't really want to discuss it, and the first movie you didn't really pull you in, then I can see why you would be like, I don't need to see the next one because the first one didn't really make me care enough. So I'm not surprised also it's a sequel. There are instances where sequels perform really well, and this is one of those instances where a sequel, if you will, is not performing that greatly. And you guys, we have three more movies coming after this one, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, but I want to continue on with these numbers because we got to talk about Rotten Tomatoes. So the critic score on Rotten Tomatoes is 39%. The audience score is 64%. Not surprised at all. Even while I was watching the movie, I was calculating in my head what I was going to give the movie as far as a grade, because I don't know. I just feel like watching this movie, I had a lot of time to think about things, which to me does not an engaging movie make. And I use engaging lightly because I'm more so talking about plot when I say that. But we're going to get into that too after we wrap up these numbers, because you know, it's not a discussion about movies without the beloved Cinema Score. So Cinema Score is at a B+, and I'm not surprised at that either. A is like what you want to range for. B+, some people are like, oh, it only has a B+ Cinema Score. But I'm like, you guys, there's also a C, a D, and an F. So it could be worse. But honestly, everyone who I talked to about this movie prior to seeing it were really positive about it and said it was really good, and this is like the best one of the two movies so far. I do agree as far as in some aspects this is better than the first one, but there are still some of those same issues that I had from that first movie that are in this one. So we're just going to get into this because, again, this is a quickie. So Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, starring Eddie Redmayne, Johnny Depp, Jude Law, Katherine Waterston, Zoe Kravitz, Ezra Miller, and a lot of other people, literally. It's directed by David Yates, who also directed Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and also he directed the last four movies in the Harry Potter franchise. So there's that. This was written by J.K. Rowling, no surprise. Let's get into this. So, because I feel, you guys know, I don't like to be so negative when I talk about movies, because I like to highlight the good and the bad. But so with that being said, we're going to start off with some things that were really, really positive for me and really, really worked. And I'm going to have to say the casting for this was really, 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 really good. And I'm talking about the casting as far as from young to old, because in Fantastic Beasts, so I'm trying to figure out how to differentiate between the first one and the second one, since technically they both say Fantastic Beasts. So we're going to, for our purposes here, Fantastic Beasts is going to refer to Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and then Crimes is going to refer to the movie that's out right now. So there we go. So in Fantastic Beasts, it's set in New York, 1926, and there is not I don't believe there are any flashbacks to any of our characters when they're younger, but we get into this one and we get that. And those young actors compared to our like present day, and I'm doing quotations in the air quotes, compared to our present day characters, so good, especially for Newt. I did not write down the actor's name who played young Newt, but identical from the look to the mannerisms, the talk. I'm over here pretty much stumbling over my words because as I was watching it, I was in my head like, oh my gosh, this is really good. They really casted the young Newt really, really well. I'm going to try to find his name as I continue to talk, because also, for Lita Lestrange, played by Zoe Kravitz, her younger character was pretty good. Also, did this happen to anyone else with Lita's hair? Because I thought she, in our present day, she had short hair. And then towards the end, it was like this weird, like mullet type of a look going on. Completely did not see that one coming, because I was like, where did the rest of her hair come from? Was it like hiding under the coat? I don't know. That weirdly stood out to me. But yeah, so we have that. Also, even for the young actor for Lita's older half brother, which I don't want to butcher his name, but even he looked really, I mean, they did a really good job casting the younger versions of these characters, even young Grindelwald and Dumbledore. I mean, you guys. And then, who else? Oh, the other casting that really, really worked was the casting for Newt's brother. And that was played by Callum Turner. And they literally look like they could be brothers in real life. And I was like, okay, I know I did not rewatch Fantastic Beasts, but I'm pretty sure he was not in the first one. And so when I looked on IMDb, he's not credited as being in the first one. So, because I would have remembered that, but that casting as well was very, very good. So there's that. But yeah, so the casting for me was something that really stood out and was really, really positive. I know fans of the Harry Potter world have been wanting a prequel based around Dumbledore, and we finally get to see him in this installment, and he's played by Jude Law. And which, because we finally get to see Dumbledore, we also get to go back to Hogwarts, which for me was probably one of the highlights of the film, just going there and knowing what happens in the future and then kind of visiting it in this past setting. I don't know why, but it really worked, and it just felt so familiar, and it's like, oh, I remember that. That looks familiar to me, kind of a thing. So I appreciated the Hogwarts scenes. What else did I really, really like? I mean, visually, it was a visually great movie. And I think I said that for the first one too, where it looked really, really good. We don't get a lot of our Fantastic Beasts in this one. We do get like a good portion of them in the beginning when Newt goes and like helps with feeding and caring for them. But other than that, we only get some of the main ones, which I think are some of the cuter ones from Fantastic Beasts. So as always, I think that was really, really good. Eddie Redmayne, I've talked about him. I've discussed multiple movies with him in it. I think all of them are on our way, way back when this was Glam Deets. But I just really like him as an actor. And I think that he does this innocent, like, boy of wonder type. I don't even know how to explain it. He just does it so, so well. And it really, really works for him. And it really worked in this again. And I felt like he seemed even more confident in this role in this second installment. So there's that. What else? Okay, a lot of this, because before Crimes even came out earlier in the year, it was all this stuff going around on the interwebs about Dumbledore's sexuality and if there was going to be some type of relationship between him and Grindelwald. And honestly, I'm going to say that in this movie, when we see some of those flashbacks between the two, I do get that. And if that's not what they were going for, then I feel like, I don't know what I feel, because I feel like that's what they were trying to go for. And it's super obvious and it's super apparent, but they kind of are skating around it and not openly saying it. Dumbledore ends up saying something along the lines of, they were more than brothers, or whatever that means. And then we get this shot of them and they're cutting their hands open, and then blood comes, like a drop of blood comes out, and then they put it in this little vial. And then in our present times, Grindelwald is still carrying that little vial, which we come to find out that they made a blood pact and swore to never fight each other, which we know, well, you guys probably knew, but I just found out because I must have missed this when Fantastic Beasts came out, because I knew originally that this was supposed to be a 3-movie series, or I don't even know what do you call multiple movies outside of a franchise, since this is within a franchise? It was supposed to be 3 movies, but then it changed to 5 movies. And in my head, I'm like, why do we need 5 movies? Can someone please answer that for me? Because I don't think we need 5 movies. But then come to find out, this is all leading up to the 1945 fight between Dumbledore and Grindelwald, which is mentioned and referenced in the Harry Potter movies. So if we're starting in 1926, this is spanning 19 years, and our second movie barely scratches the surface because we're only in 1927 and we still have 3 more movies to go. So I don't know if we're going to speed it up a little bit to kind of get some of that time going, but yeah. We're supposed to spend 19 years leading up to this big fight. I don't know what J.K. Rowling is doing. Only she knows in her head how this all ends up, because she is essentially the only person credited with writing the script, which I guess we can go there because it's supposed to be a quickie and we're just going to do it. So there are some issues, so we're going to talk about some of the words that I've seen thrown out there in reference to this movie online. And this includes both articles and in the comment section. Here are some of the words: boring, slow, convoluted. Going to be honest, when I was watching this, especially in the beginning, and I felt the same way about Fantastic Beasts. And in the beginning of this one, I was like, oh my gosh, this movie's so slow. I don't understand what is happening. Can we get to the point? Can we get to the point? Convoluted, I think greatly is a great word to express kind of the plot line, because so much stuff happens in this movie, but none of it I actually genuinely care about. So we're just going to get into that part of what I want to talk about, because you guys know I love great character development. That is my thing. I love a plot that is strong and makes sense and people can follow it. I don't care how long the movie is. And this movie, mind you, is 2 hours and 14 minutes. So I don't care how long the movie is. It needs to make sense so that by the time we get to the end of the movie and I leave, I'm like, okay, thank you. I understand what happened. I don't feel like I wasted a lot of time. I'm not confused. I left this movie with so many questions and I felt like I had no answers to the point where I had to go online to try to find some answers, because I was just confused. Even with this being related to Harry Potter, I was still confused. So many characters that I just do not care about. And if I'm to be honest, the only characters I actually genuinely care about in this are Newt and possibly Jacob. And that's it. Like, all those people who ended up dying in the fire, I just did not really care about. Zoe Kravitz's character, Lita, when she died, it was like, oh, sad, but I don't really care. Like, I don't feel like I invested enough in these characters to care about what their outcome is. And to me, that gives me pause when I think about there being three more movies, because some of these characters, and there are still a lot of characters left, and I'm sure there are going to be a lot of characters who are still to meet. A lot of them I just do not care about, and that kind of scares me, because then you're saying to me that I have to care enough to want to, one, see another movie with these same characters, but not just one more movie, three more movies with these same characters, and 95% of them I don't really care about. Just putting it out there. Dumbledore is like, I don't even want to say care, because I know what happens to him in the future. And so it's kind of like a nostalgia type of a thing with Dumbledore, where it's like, oh, I care about him in a nostalgic way, but I'm not heavily invested in him now, because we do meet Dumbledore, but we don't really see him too much. So there's that. We have Ezra Miller's character, Credence, which the whole entire movie, and I was going to be so mad if we left that movie and they didn't tell us who he was supposed to be, because I feel like so much of this series so far has been around him, where we were getting all these false leads, and then it's like, oh no, by the way, this is Dumbledore's brother. And it's just like, okay, I just want to care. I just want to care a little bit. So that brings me back to J.K. Rowling and even to David Yates, because it's like writing and directing go hand in hand. Like, they both have to work. And I don't know if that means, because J.K. Rowling writes books. And so, and this is, I get it. When it's like your thing and you're so heavily invested in it. So I don't know. And I'm not saying that she needs to completely step away from writing it, because this is her world and this is what she understands. And it could be some of the stuff that was supposed to go into this got left on the cutting room floor. And hey, we might see it in a director's cut or something. But for what we got, maybe there needs to be J.K. Rowling plus someone else writing a script. Just putting it out there. Maybe we can try an up-and-coming director, because that's been working for some other movies, with some of these new directors just coming and giving fresh spins and takes on movies and people just loving it. Maybe we do that. And that's not to say that the writing is bad or the directing is bad to where the whole thing just needs to be replaced. But maybe some people can be added just to help it out just a little bit. So I don't know. That's just my opinion. Maybe you guys felt differently and you are yelling at me in your head as you're listening to me say this, and that's perfectly fine. That's why this is a discussion, and you can tell me how you really feel, but in a nice way. But yeah, so I mean, I guess I'll step away from that, but that's just how I feel personally about the writing and directing of this movie. And we're going to leave it at that. Some other notable things that I did want to mention. So we get Nagini, who was in the Harry Potter movies. And I didn't even realize it until I actually Googled her, because I saw an article where she was mentioned. And I was like, wait, who is she? Because I don't remember seeing like an actual person with this name. But she is the snake in the Harry Potter movies, who had multiple moments in those movies. So that's something to also take note of if you're like not a hardcore Harry Potter fan and you're just like me, you're like, I like Harry Potter, but I'm not like I don't even know. It's not even like fan. You're not the super Harry Potter knowledgeable person. That did not make sense, but you get what I'm saying. So there was that. What else did I want to say? I think that's pretty much it. So as far as the LaStrange family, as of now, I'm assuming we might get some of them in a future movie, but as of now, it seems like they're all dead. Because Lita is, she died when we found out she killed her brother. And so there's that. And her half-brother still, he's still alive, but he does not have the same father. So therefore, his last name is different. And then there's so much family drama. It's a lot of family drama happening there. I'm almost like, can we get a movie about just that family drama? Just because that sounds a little bit more interesting than what was going on the screen, to be honest. But I'm going to leave it at that. Before you guys come at me with pitchforks, but that's pretty much all I had to say. Overall, for what it was in this, as an addition to the series and within this franchise, it will be interesting to see where this goes, because the way that it seems like these movies are being formulated now, it's kind of like how when we binge watch TV and then they kind of leave you hanging because they know that they have another episode coming that will have a little bit more information. And then they'll leave you hanging in that one because there's another episode coming with a little bit more information. So I kind of feel like this is being written like a TV show or like a novel. So we shall see where we go in movie 3. I'm going to keep watching just because I have now invested in this. And I, like I said, I do like the actors. I just don't know that I'm fully invested in all the characters. But I guess the one who I should be the most invested in is the one who we start off with, which is Newt. And he is like one of two people who I'm invested in. And Jacob is still alive, so I'm still invested in him. So I will see the third movie. I think the third movie is going to determine how I watch the following two movies, because if it's another movie like the first two, where one in the third movie, we're going to need to jump a good chunk of time or something, or we're going to need to like push this forward, because getting to movie 3 and only being 2 years into a 19-year journey, it's not very motivating. So I'm going to need the timeline to just move up ahead a good chunk of time, just so it feels like we're going somewhere and we're like going to reach that destination, because I feel like we're still at the starting line and not even halfway to the finish line. So that's one thing. But also, if it is still like the first two movies, then after seeing the third one, I'm probably just going to see the following two when it comes out on digital. I'm just going to put it out there. So I guess I'll give you guys my grade. So like I said, I was in there and I was trying to figure out how I wanted to grade this. And when we were almost to the end, I was sitting at a B-. Not gonna lie, the end sequence, as much as I was like, I have no idea. I mean, I knew what was going on, but it's kind of like, okay, now we're finally getting a little bit of action, but also like all these people are dying that I don't really care about. So it was interesting in a sense. But by that time, I was like, okay, I'm at like a B-. So I think I'm going to leave this at a C+. And that's just where we're going to leave it at. So I want to know what you guys thought about this latest installment in our Fantastic Beasts series within our Harry Potter franchise. Let me know. You can tweet me, because we're on Twitter at Current Binge, or also go to the post related to this episode on Instagram and you can leave a comment there. And on Instagram, it's at Currently Binging. And yeah, you can also comment on the actual blog post on inherglam.com. So let me know your thoughts. What you're rating? Are you going to see the next movie in this franchise? Are you 100% invested? Was it good? Was it bad? I want to know all those things. And I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Stay up to date on new episodes by subscribing and following. You can find Currently Binging on multiple listening platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Take the discussion beyond the episode by following on Instagram at Currently Binging and on Twitter at Current Binge.